775 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. As we open the pages of the Song of Solomon, we journey into a lush garden of love and intimacy, a garden that at first glance speaks of the love between a man and a woman, yet, upon deeper reflection, reveals the very heart of God for his people. It is in this poetic tapestry that we catch a glimpse of the Messiah, Jesus, woven between the lines of ardent affection and divine romance. Consider the fourth verse of the second chapter, "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." Here, we envision a scene of celebration, a place where love is not whispered in the shadows, but proclaimed for all to see. In the Hebrew tradition, a banner was a symbol of identity and protection, it was a declaration of belonging. How profound, then, to see this imagery pointing us towards the New Testament, where Jesus speaks of preparing a place for us at his table, in his Father's house. Is this not the love that invites us to the ultimate banquet, the marriage supper of the Lamb? It's a love that doesn't turn away from us, but seeks us out, lifts us from the dirt of our earthly struggles, and puts us in heavenly places with Christ. In the Song of Solomon, we see a foreshadowing of that great day when we'll dine with our bridegroom beneath the banner of his never-ending love, a love that sacrificed his life for his friends and knows no limits. In the stillness of the night, the Shulamite of the Song of Solomon voices the cry of every longing heart, "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth." There is a stirring, a restlessness that cannot be quieted, a pursuit that does not tire with the setting of the sun. This is the pursuit of the beloved, a search for the one who has captivated the heart. Isn't this the echo of our own heart's yearning? We seek him in the secret places, in the quiet chambers of our souls, where only the whispers of the Spirit can be heard. We rise, we search the streets and squares, we seek the one whom our soul loves. This is the spiritual longing for Jesus, the yearning for his presence and touch. And yet, while we seek, we are reminded that we are not the only ones in this divine romance. For just as the Shulamite searched for her lover, so too does our bridegroom seek us. Jesus tells us in Luke 19 verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." He is the pursuer of our hearts, the shepherd, who leaves the 99 to find the one which is lost. Our pursuit of him is but a response to his relentless pursuit of us. In the parables of the lost sheep and the persistent widow, we see a God who honors the seeking heart, who commands us to ask, seek, and knock. There is a holy insistence, a sacred tenacity, that marks the pursuit of the bridegroom. In the seeking, there is finding; in the asking, there is receiving; in the knocking, the door will be opened. The bridegroom wants to receive us. We are pursued by a love that knows no bounds, a love that will not rest until it has claimed its beloved. And so, we pursue him, not as those without hope, but as those who have been sought after, known, and loved by the bridegroom of our souls. Amidst the poetic verses of the Song of Solomon, the lover declares, "Thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee." This statement transcends the mere physical. It speaks of worth, purity, and a profound acceptance. The beloved is seen as flawless through the eyes of the lover. In the eyes of Jesus, we find a similar gaze of grace. To him, his bride, the church, is without blemish. This is not because of our merit, but because of his work on the cross. Ephesians 5 verses 25 to 27 tells us that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. The mirror of the word reflects our true identity in Christ. When he looks at us, he does not see our failures. He sees the righteousness of the one who became sin for us. It is a divine exchange, his purity for our imperfection. Thus, in the grand narrative of redemption, we find our beauty and worth. Let us, therefore, live as the radiant bride he sees, adorned with the beauty of his holiness, reflecting his love and light, to a world in need, of his transforming grace. The lover declares, "Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm." In ancient times, a seal was a symbol of ownership and protection. It was a sign of authenticity and value. The beloved desires to be so close that she is like a seal, a constant, enduring presence that is both intimate and declaring of a bond that cannot be broken. This imagery beckons us to see the inseparable love of Jesus for his bride, the Church. A love, that Romans tells us, is so powerful that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, can separate us from it. The love of Christ for his people is enduring, it is jealous in its purity, and it is as strong as death itself. The Apostle Paul knew this love and spoke of it with confidence, affirming that nothing in all creation could quench the love that Christ has for us. As we reflect on the love that Christ has for us, let us remember the price that was paid for this assurance. The cross stands as the ultimate symbol of divine love, a love that was willing to endure death, so that we could be brought into eternal life. The Song of Solomon thus becomes a canvas upon which the passion of Christ is painted, inviting us to rest in the assurance of his unyielding affection and devotion. In the love of Christ, we find a fortress and a sanctuary. His love is a banner over us, a seal upon our hearts that marks us as his own. We belong to him, purchased at a great price, called by name, and destined for an eternity in his embrace. In a world where love is often conditional and temporary, the love of Jesus is a wellspring of comfort and security. Let us hold fast to this love, for it is our greatest assurance and our enduring hope. The longing for Christ is a theme that runs deep through the New Testament. It is the cry of the Church. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 22, Maranatha. Our Lord, come. In Revelation 22 verse 17, it is the voice of the Spirit and the bride saying, come. We yearn for his return, for the wedding feast of the Lamb, for the consummation of all things. And while we wait, we are not left comfortless. Jesus promised, in John 14, that he would not leave us as orphans, he would come to us. Even now, we have his presence, through the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who assures us of our beloved's love. We commune with him, through prayer, through his word, and through the fellowship of the saints. Let this longing not be a source of despair, but rather a beacon of hope. For it is in the longing that our faith is stretched, and our hearts are enlarged. The very act of yearning for Jesus is an expression of love, a testament to the bond that exists between the Savior and his redeemed. So let us long, let us seek, let us knock, for in the pursuit of our beloved, we find a deeper communion with him. As we journey through the Song of Solomon, we are reminded that it is not just a story of earthly love, but a divine narrative that points us to Jesus, the lover of our souls. From the assurance of divine love, to the pursuit of the beloved, from the beauty and worth of the bride, to the longing for union and communion, we see the heart of God, revealed in Christ Jesus. Father, let us rise up and follow our beloved into the garden of his affection. Let us be transformed by the love that calls us fair, that sets us as a seal, that makes us whole. For in the end, it is love that has called us, love that has saved us, and love that will lead us home. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.